I'll invite you to grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 9, this morning. Now, one thing I can say about names is that if I name certain people, you will instantly associate that with something, without me even describing them. For example, if I said Leonardo da Vinci, you have thoughts, don't you? You might think art. You might think inventions. You might think Renaissance. If I said Abraham Lincoln, you have thoughts. You might think president, Civil War, assassinated. If I say Adolf Hitler, I'm glad there were a few boos. Nazi, evil, Third Reich. You might think of things. All I'm saying is that when you hear a name, there are things that you immediately associate with characteristics for that person. A name is so much more than a simple string of letters coming together. It has meaning. Now, when I say Lord, Most High, Jesus, what do you think, right? And, you know, that would have been the moment to cheer instead of, you know, the ooze of Hitler, right? But the question is far more important than knowing what famous people are famous for. Because God and who he is, his name, it affects us in every way. It affects our peace. It affects our well-being, our daily decisions, our spiritual destiny. How do we not only survive, but thrive in this thing called life? We look to know what it truly means to know the name of God because it should be and it is more precious to us than anything. Do you find comfort in his name? Do you find hope in his name because you know who he is? Let's look at Psalm 9 and see what we can find out about knowing the name of God and why we can trust his character. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, help us to understand it. Help us to live it faithfully. Help us to trust you. May your name be magnified this morning. And may the Holy Spirit give us understanding. And may we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Psalm 9 says this, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Now, when my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. Yahweh, that is the Lord, is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name and put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord, who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds, for he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me, O you who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. the nations have sunk into the pit that they have made, in the net that they hid. Their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. Selah. The wicked shall return to Sheol. All the nations that forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Yahweh, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put fear in them, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. Selah. Psalm 9, we are told, is a psalm of David, Amuth Laban. Now, I'm not sure if that means an Irish jig or what, but it is some kind of musical term, musical style, most likely. We don't know the occasion for which this psalm was written, but I can tell you that David felt oppressed and attacked by his enemies, and he was looking for the Lord to deliver him in his circumstances. A psalm, as we have mentioned, can be a psalm of lament, and this is one of them, which means that while David will praise God, he will lay out a lament before God. Here are my troubles, but God, I trust you with the results. And it's a necessary process for us by which we learn to trust God by laying out our concerns before him. Now, there are three vantage points that David will look at. He will look to the past, he'll look at the present, and he will look at the future. And each vantage point is critical to help us not only trust God, but to thrive spiritually rather than feeling defeated in our circumstances. And so we should note this, and I think this is very important. David's circumstances are very challenging, but he doesn't fail to praise God. So in your immediate circumstances, I think this is very true. You might have trouble praising God about your immediate circumstances. So David does something important, and I think we should learn from this. First, before he laments about his immediate circumstances, he looks back at what God has done. Because this right here, you might have a hard time praising God for. You got to look back. You got to look back and think about what God has done. And so he starts by giving thanks to the Lord. Now, Lord, L-O-R-D, all capitals, is Yahweh, the covenant name of God. We've seen this in Genesis, and Isaac shared about this last week as well. Now, it's to signify, so this covenant name signifies that David has a relationship with God, a promise and an agreement. And I think this is really significant for us because nothing has changed. We are still in a promise and agreement with God if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus in Luke 22, verse 20 says this after they had taken the cup, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." So this idea of a personal relationship doesn't start in the New Testament. Yahweh, or Lord, is the one with whom they had a covenant with. Just as we as sinners turn from our sin, and the agreement is that we trust that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, that his death pays for our sin, that his resurrection triumphs over sin and death, and that by trusting in him, we will have eternal life. Now, the one thing about a covenant with God is that it's one-sided, in that the sense that God is the keeper of the covenant. If it was up to us, we'd be in trouble. God is faithful. So, we have a responsibility to respond to the gospel. We must personally repent and believe. But is God who ultimately keeps us saved. So here he says, "I will give thanks to God with whom, or to the Lord, with whom he has a relationship. with his whole heart. He's all in with an attitude of thankfulness. But again, I said it's so important that when you are in difficult circumstances, you will not feel like praising God with your whole heart about the current circumstances you have. You have to look back. You have to remember what God has done for you. I will recount your wonderful deeds, he says. Be glad and exult, which means to rejoice. It's a good habit to have, to look back and remember. You know, sometimes Kim and I, we like to just talk about something that has happened, a good memory, and it brings a smile to our face. I'm reminded of one particular one was a few years ago on our 20th wedding anniversary. We sat, now, for those of you who are younger, we watched something called a VHS tape. Our wedding was put on a VHS. And so we popped it in our still working VHS player and watched our wedding. And I'll tell you, all the good memories that flooded back from that, it was just so good. And I just looked at Kim and I just couldn't help but feel how much I love her and so grateful for her. Do you think that it's any different? It's far greater that when we talk about God, that this is the reality. When we look back and we think and we remember, we will love God more and trust him more because we are remembering what he has done. Now, if you're going through a tough time and you're saying, I can't remember what God has done, find a good brother or sister in Christ to help you jog your memory. Because you need to. You need to remember when God brought you through the valleys, when God provided, when God blessed, when God helped. And some of you who are younger, who have never been through difficult things, let me just say something. That maybe the difficulty you're going through right now, it's for your growth. It's for your good. And those who are older know that when you look back, even though you don't wish those difficult circumstances on anyone, you don't want them gone because they shaped you and allowed you to trust God more and be a better witness. Amen. This is the reality of our lives. David sings praises to the name of the Most High. Because David remembered well, Psalm 77:11, I remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. David's historical review is as follows in this chapter. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before your presence. You've maintained my just cause. You've sat on your throne, O God, giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked nations. You've made the wicked to perish, even blotting out their names forever when they sought their own fame, like the Tower of Babel. Enemies came into everlasting ruin in their cities. Think of the conquest of Canaan. Their very memory has perished. Now, David's context is specific to him because he is feeling the weight of his enemies, and he knows that God has delivered Israel repeatedly, despite the opposition that they have faced. He remembers all that God has done, and that question remains for us. Do we remember what the Most High has done for us? Do you look at the times that God carried you through, that God blessed you? Look back and remember it well when your circumstances right now are very challenging. Because there's sometimes not a lot to hold on to in the moment. But the one on the Most High throne is steadfast and always there. Now, if we look not only back, but we look at the present, David looks at his present reality. And what I want to say is this. Christianity is not a matter of simply convincing yourself that everything is fine when it isn't. That's delusion. The world loves practicing delusion. Sometimes life isn't good. Sometimes life is full of sorrow, of difficulty. But I want to say this because that does not mean that life is not worth living. We have to understand that suffering is part of the Christian life. And maybe somebody sold you an easy believe version of Christianity where everything is happy, sunshine, rainbows, and puppies. It's not. But it is the only real hope and the rock upon which you can rest in this life. We don't do it alone. We do it with God, and we do it together as believers. You know, we often probably think a lot like that verse in Job, right? Job 5:7, man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. A lot of us would like to wear that shirt and say, yep. But we don't read the rest of that verse. Verse 8 and 9. Job, right after he says, man is born into trouble, as the sparks fly upward, it says, as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause, who does great things, unsearchable and marvelous things without number. Yeah, life is tough. God is greater than every one of your difficulties. And that's what David is doing. He is committing his cause to the Lord. Yahweh sits on the throne. He is sovereignly in control of all things. And by the way, he's not temporarily on the throne. He's on it forever and ever, and no one can even touch him because he's the Most High. He judges righteously and with uprightness. God's sovereignty does what is right all the time. And he holds all to his account of divine standard of holiness. He doesn't judge any unfairly. And no wicked person, even if a wicked person is persecuting you and others are fooled by it, God is never fooled by the wicked. He knows your cause. And if you are in times of trouble, know that what it is said here, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed. A stronghold in times of trouble. There is a safe place in the storms of life. It is God Himself. Run to Him and know that He is the mighty fortress upon which we can depend. Here's what David knows. His circumstances are difficult, but those who know what God's name really means, as it says there, those in verse 10, who know your name and put their trust in you, he is truly trustworthy, because it says not that he has never forsaken those who seek him. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be in fear or dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And this gets translated into the New Testament additionally when people pursue material gain. We live in a culture right now that is financially crushing. I don't know about you. I feel the pinch. Do you feel the pinch at times? Is it just my imagination, or has life gotten extremely expensive? And if my thought is, oh, if I just had more money, I'd be okay. Shame on me as a Christian. We're not here to pursue material wealth. It doesn't mean we don't do well with what God has given us. But even in Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us always. David calls on the body to trust in God, to sing his praises to Yahweh who sits enthroned in Zion, that is heaven, to tell among the people his deeds, which I think is something we can do better at. We need to do more public testimony and praise to God, how God has blessed and supplied and rescued and strengthened. I know that every time I hear someone else talk about how God has carried them through something, it doesn't just strengthen their faith, it strengthens mine. God does not let those who have been oppressed, even those whose blood has been shed, be forgotten. He hears the cry of the afflicted and he remembers it. And so David laments. He says, God, not only have I remembered all that you have done, but I can't deny my present reality. I need you. I really need you. And I know that you're the only one that I can cry to. Because you are the fortress. You are the strong tower. You are the Most High. You have done all these great things. And God, I can feel the walls closing in on me. The people who hate me. I feel like I'm at the very gates of death. But God, I want you to deliver me so that I can praise you in the gates of the daughter of Zion. The daughter of Zion is Jerusalem. That I can rejoice in your salvation. We face severe opposition because we follow Christ. But the greatest enemy of our souls is death if we are sinners without Christ. Because if we die without Jesus Christ, we will be forever separated and go to hell. This is no joke. I hope you're listening. If you're sitting here and you've never, ever thought seriously about this, if you are to perish, where will you go? We would never be able to stand before God and say, I did enough good things. We are sinners. And it condemns us to separate us from God and to spend hell in hell forever. However, there's this beautiful truth. 1 John 4:10, this is love. Not that we love God. Look, we didn't go at it first. God came to us. He loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. You see, we didn't climb to the top of the throne. We didn't climb Mount Zion. God came down to us to rescue us. The Son of God, according to the Father's perfect plan, came and died for sinners. He was the propitiation. That means he satisfied the wrath of God for our sin by his death, by his shed blood. And all who flee to Jesus will be forgiven. And Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day. And that promise, all who trust in Jesus will be granted eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. When we flee to God, we no longer stand at the gates of death when we go to Jesus Christ. We now stand at the gates of heaven, and under Christ's blood, we are able to enter into eternal life forever. Now, David knows that the wicked nations who oppose God, they doom themselves by their own actions. They sink into the pit they have made. They get their foot caught in the net they made to catch others with their evil. Yahweh's wrath, the Lord's wrath against sin will be revealed. The Lord has made himself known. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. His name will be known by the wicked. But when they hear his name, it will not be with great joy. It will be with fear. And they already live in defeat. Their cause cannot prevail. Even if right now evil seems to have the upper hand, it doesn't. Because God is sovereign on his throne. And so finally, we look to the future. Around verse 17, David has not only looked at the past, to the present, but to the future. The wicked return to Sheol, to the grave, where they will face the judgment of God. All who forget God will stand in account and be judged. On the other hand, though, in that moment, things might seem desperate. Those who know God, who know his character, know that the needy will not always be forgotten, that the hope of the poor will not perish forever. God does not forget his children. You will have desperate times. God has not forgotten you. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. David longs for the world to be put aright. Arise, O Lord, Let man not prevail. And so do we. How do we pray that today? Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the gospel is here. Put fear in them, O Lord. To fear God is to know God. It is to acknowledge that we must humbly submit to Him. Let the nations know that they are but men making plans. And every day we hear of leaders strutting in their arrogance as though they are the ultimate decision makers. It is God who is in control of all things. And they need to humble themselves and seek Him. David lamented, but David had tremendous confidence. And here is the thing. When you think about it, David was so sure of trusting in God in his lifetime, and all that he could do was look ahead by faith to the coming Messiah. Do you realize that we have more confidence than David did when he was alive? Because David was hoping that Jesus would come. He was waiting that. He believed it. We know that Jesus has come, that He died, that He rose again. We stand in victory. And He went back to sit on His throne. John 16:33, I have said these things to you that in you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That is who we reside in. That is who we trust in. We know that when we hear the name Yahweh, when we hear the name Lord, when we hear Most High, that the God that David speaks of is the God that we know. Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. And when we hear the name of His most precious Son, Jesus Christ, we know what Jesus has done, and we know we live in victory. We know He has overcome. And by the way, you sit in trouble now, but He's coming back. He's coming back. John 14, 1-3, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself that you may be where I am also. So Christian life is not promised to be easy. But God has promised to always be with us. He will always be our stronghold. God will never forsake those who seek Him. His name is to be praised because of who He does, who He is, what He does, and because He's kept every one of His promises. We look back and we praise Him. We look to now and we know that our hope and our future is secure. So in closing, we're talking about the name above all names, our precious God. While we were on vacation, some of you may not love this kind of stuff, but we like camping quite a bit, usually. There was a tremendous amount of dry season, right, we had in August. Hadn't rained at all. Naturally, when do you think the first time it's going to rain in August is? Of course, it's when we're camping. So we're laying in the tent, and you can tell there's a storm coming. And I'm a slightly high-strung person, as in extremely high-strung, all the time. I hear a bug fall on the tent. I'm like, it's a bear. It's a bear. I got to go get it. I hear the crackle. I'm like, oh, no. But the storm was very real, and the storm came in. And it just started pelting down. And all of a sudden, I heard the tree branches crackling. And on another site, some of the branches came down. And the lightning was going there. So talk about dream vacation. This is going to make anybody want to go camping. All of us are sitting in the vehicle. for 3 hours while it's lightning, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, while the camp is getting soaked, muddied, just obliterated. Camping. I can't recommend it enough. Now, I remember in the morning we were driving through the camp and there was a guy just slumped over a picnic table and his whole sight was just gone. Just poof. It was that good. But you know, we Kim and I talked that in the moment I was not exactly having a great time. We talked and we reminisced about many of the good times we had camping and we laughed about it. And it didn't faze us in a way to say we're never camping again. I might have said that in the immediate moment. But we still wanted to camp. We could remember all the good times we've had as a family. The moment was difficult, but we looked ahead, you know, and I did make a plea, oh Lord, tent trailer, anything off the ground, right? But now, if I look at this in all seriousness in our lives, there are very real storms in our lives that come. And I want to say this, I just, my heart is so burdened for our young people because it is so, sometimes you feel so discouraged out there. This life is worth living. This life, even though it has its trials, doesn't take away from the good things that God has done. And I still look hoped forward to the future to see what God will do. First John 5:5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? What's in a name? Everything when you're talking about Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. May we trust in you. I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning who are struggling. May they find hope in your word. May they find hope in your name. May they remember well. And Father, for those who are going through difficult hours, I pray that you would deliver them, that you would sustain them. And I pray that we would come alongside those who are struggling. Father, we thank you that when we look to your name, it's a fortress, a strong tower, and that we have victory in Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.